devices fall. Okay, we're on. Okay, so we are on Gittin Daf Pei Gimel is today's daf. Today being Som Gedalia, we're having the double header tonight. The Slichas week, one always tries to just get it in whenever one can. So we will have one tonight, and then it'll be have a few minute break, and then we'll do the other one. Baruch Hashem, I was just zocheh with my family to go to the Kotel for Mincha and Meiriv tonight. We have a tremendous chus to be able to be at the Makam HaMikdash on one of the Dalat HaNesim when you're mourning the Mikdash. Tremendous chus, Baruch Hashem. And now we're back to Torah. Tana Rabbanan, everything's Torah. All of life is Torah. That's why you don't make a new mitosis in Brachas Daf Yud Aleph. You don't make a new bracha whenever you start learning again, right? Unlike every other mitzvah, because all of life is Torah. Right, every second there's a halachas that one has to be aware of. Okay, let's start with Daf Pei Gimel, two dots. Six lines up in Tana Rabbanan. And I thank Jason for finishing off to the two dots yesterday to give me an opportunity to start on an Amud Aleph. Very unusual. Tana Rabbanan, La'acha P'tiraso Sharab Elazar, Nichnasu Arba'a Zakenim, La'ashiv Al Dvarav. When the, after Rabbi Elazar died, Rabbi Elazar, who said what? Yesterday, beginning of Hamagari, Shtaf Pei Beis, Rabbi Elazar said, if a man divorces his wife and says to her, you are mutter to everyone except for Ploni. I am muteras l'chol adam elo l'ploni. Right? So, and Rabbi Eliezer says that works. That works. The divorce works. And Ploni, she is still ashatu. She cannot marry Ploni. So after Rabbi Elazar passed away, there were four Zakenim that argued with him, that came up, and that each had their own argument against Rabbi Eliezer. So Nichnasu Arba Zakenim L'Hashiv Al Dvarav. The Elohim, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Elazar Ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva. These four great rabbis came together to argue on Rabbi Eliezer. Nana, so we're going to quote each one's argument. Nana, Rabbi Tarfon, again, what is the shita that we're talking about? Rabbi Eliezer shita that says, Hareya muteres l'chol adam chutz miploni, works. So Nana, Rabbi Tarfon va'amar. Rabbi Tarfon says, how does that work? Hari shahol chazu b'nesis l'achiv shal zeh. It's Ella. It says Ella, and we discussed whether it's chutz or almanas. Well, we're going to get to that a little bit today as well. I said Ella l'ploni, but let's assume it means except for ploni. So Rabbi Tarfon said, let's say this woman who just got divorced goes and marries the brother of the one that was excluded. You can marry anybody except for Ploni, and then she goes and marries Ploni's brother. So what's going to happen? If her husband now dies, she has to marry the one that she was made usher to. So what happened though? How could she do Yibum? She was made usher from the original divorce. So if this is lachav shalzeh, shene esra alav, umeis below banim, let's say the new husband dies without children, lo nimsa zeh oker davar min haTorah, isn't this condition now being oker davar min haTorah, it's uprooting a din daraisa. She's supposed to do yibum with this guy, but he's usher to her from the gerushin. So how could that be? How could it work? That's his kasha on Rabbi Eliezer. Halamata she'ein zeh krisus. So therefore, what do you see? It must be wrong. It must be that this is not a krisus. Is she allowed to marry anybody lechachila? In this case, is she allowed to marry somebody? Or maybe she's stuck. It works as a gerushin, but she's stuck because is there? So that's the machlokas we've shown here. The Tosfos read on the previous daf on Daf Pei Beis says it must be that she's mutter to marry anybody. Because if she was usher to get married, so that's not halakhically a marriage, and then there wouldn't be a zika to the Yibam anyway, because it was a marriage b'isser. As the Tosas Rid holds. While the Rashba says no. Rashba says it could be that she's usher, and she has to wait. Yeah.
But I don't understand once there's Gerushin, she's
right.
Out of the Rishus.
Right, once there's Gerushin, but she's not full. It's not fully out of the Rishus. She's a Grusha, except regarding this guy, she's still an Ashes Ish. Which the Gemara is going to talk about, how you can have that split. But that's the Rabbi Tarfon's message. Again, so how could it be that she's going to go and marry the brother, and then the brother's going to die without children, and then she's going to have to do Yibum with the one she was Nasar to? Oh, you're being Mevatel the Mitzvah of Yibum. You're being Oker Devim in HaTorah. Asks the Rashba and Yevamis Dav Beis. They could do Chalitza. They could do Chalitza, so how is it Oker Devim in HaTorah? They could do Chalitza. Sorry? You're forcing one. So if you force one, but there, aren't they both mitzvahs? So says the Rashba in Yevamos Daf Beis, as the Gemara there says later on, b'makom yibum chalitza lav klumu. When chalitza might be a mitzvah itself, or we alluded to a little bit last week. We'll get to it later today. Actually, I'll mention it right now. The chalitza is a discussion in the poskim whether it's a mitzvah or what we call a matir. It's a mitzvah. If you want to do chalitza, if you want to get married, to get married to everybody else, then she can do chalitza. But says the Rashba, at least, that in a case where yibum is possible, so then doing chalitza is not called a mitzvah, and that's how the Gemara could term this an okay davar min haTorah, even though you can do chalitza. Rashba says, "My kasha, the mekayma mitzvahs yivamin bechalitza lohi, the chalitza welcome yibum lav klumhu, the kiva de machmas tno lo efsha lo ela bechalitza dafka v'lo beyibum kiman de masan akasha b'torahi." It's like the Masa Mashkaz
Batorah. She's an Ashes Ish as far as this guy's concerned.
She is an Ashes Ish. I'm saying, but if her husband, who is this guy's brother, she marries and then dies.
Yeah. Okay.
Right? So then she's not allowed to live with this man.
Right.
But she could do Chalitza.
Why? Because she's still an Ashes Ish.
Legabov. But regarding her husband, she has a Mitzvah of Yibam. She has a new husband who she was allowed to marry. And that is a Zika Daraisa of Yibam.
So why can't she do Yibam? Because she's still an Ashes Ish for the first guy.
Correct. So he's being Oker Dover Minatora, though.
Right, but I'm
because you should have to do Yibam.
The Rosh's question, I'm saying, doesn't get off the ground. But Chalitza's not going to do anything either.
What do you mean? Regarding the Zika, to get rid of the Zika from her dead husband now, from her dead husband, Chalitza can get rid of that Zika.
As far as the lie,
I understand. It's kind of circular. It's kind of circular. But at least, you're right. She's an Ashes Ish like above, but there's still a Zika created, the Gemara is assuming.
How can it be a Zika created if the Gabbo?
Because it was a real marriage. This was a real marriage, and you can't be married to two brothers. So she's not really an Ashes. Right? She's married to the original. A woman can't be married to two men at the same time. Right? So there's an Ashes element regarding that one, but that's the Chiddush for Eliezer, that this get works. Just one second. I alluded to it last week, but just to mention now, to bring it, the Chacham Tzvi is the tshuva about, one of the tshuvas about mitzvah matir versus chalitza. I mean, if you have the approach, the chalitza isn't really such a mitzvah, it accomplishes something. It's inherently more of a matir, it allows you to then marry anybody, than a mitzvah, so then it would be even better what the Rashba was saying, that you're ruining the mitzvah of Yibam. What's the case? Let's say you have a 98-year-old woman who has to do Yibam or chalitza. So she says, I'm not going to do Yibam. So forget it, I'm not going to do anything. Is there a kiyah for her to still do Chalitza at 98 years old? If she has no intention of getting remarried, is there still a kiyah to do Chalitza, says the Chacham Tzvi? No. Chacham Tzvi says, no. Shehari kol ikar, the Simon Aleph, not too far. Shehari kol ikar masha anu kovan al Chalitza, when do we force on Chalitza, mishum lesa dida she'in chos menosav lo tiagin v'teisev? So she's not an aguna. That's why we would force him to do Chalitza. It's not a regular case. You force at any mitzvah asay. So here too. No. This is only specifically by chalitza, where we don't want it to become an aguna. But if she doesn't care, then you don't have to do it. Meaning it's a it might be counted as one of the six, as the 613. Just like shchita might be counted. Just like other mitzvahs might be counted. But inherently, it might be defined as a matir and not as a mitzvah. And therefore, it's more focused on the result. And if you don't need the result, you wouldn't have to do it. So if you have the approach of chalitza as matir, not mitzvah, then this gemara fits it beautifully. You're being oker davar min haTorah because you're being oker yibum. And that's the real ikker of what is being done here.
Isn't get also a matir?
Oh, so get also might be a matir. Right, the question is how much is get a mitzvah or a matir? Shchita is a discussion between the Rambam and the Ravid. Is shchita a mitzvah or shchita a matir? Again, you make brachas sometimes on matirim. You make a bracha on shchita. You don't make a bracha on get. You make a bracha on marriage. Right, according to the Rambam, kiddushin is a mitzvah. You make a bracha. Right, bracha is a mitzvah. Why do you make a bracha on getin? I think we mentioned that the first year, one of the first year, the Abu Draham. The Abu Draham says many getin come from circumstances that there were certain averas involved. So that's why Chazal said lo plug, there's no bracha. Others were Rosenzweig, I think, once said in a different context that maybe by getin is just an unraveling of kiddushin. It's not really a creation of something new. Arise to that. So then you don't make a bracha on an unraveling. You only make a bracha on a new yisira. Okay, weiter. So that was Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon argued on Rabbi Eliezer, as was just said. Number two, Nenner Rabbi Yosef Glili Yomer. Rabbi Yosef Glili came and said, this is the problem with Rabbi Eliezer Shita, who says this gerushin works, excluding one person. Hechan matzino asa lozeh, muta lozeh. When do you have a case where a woman is usher for certain people and mutter for other people? Ha'asar asa lakol, mutter mutter lakol. When a woman gets divorced, she's mutter to everybody. When she gets Aser, she's Aser to everybody.
That's true. She's not to do a coin.
So the Gemara is going to talk about it. Halamadata she'ein zekrisus. So, it's not a good krisus, and therefore, Rabbi Eliezer must be wrong. Number three. Nena, Rabbi Elzeman Azariah, Rabbi Elzeman Azariah says, A third argument, krisus, davar hakoreis beino leveino. Krisus means something that separates between him and her. Halamata she'ein zeh krisus. Says the Ritva, this one is based on this pure svara. This pure svara, he says, Pirsha Rav Elazar ben Azariya, machle misvara denashe. Tekivin tachsiv krisus stama, krisus legamri mashma. You can't have any connection, you can't have any remnants of the relationship. So if you leave one person out, legabav, we're still married, that's not krisus. Torah says, because of a safer krisus, but also be other. If you don't have that, it's not going to work.
But he had to.
We're gonna get to those numbered bays. Back to the Makaris. Even so, Rav Elazar ben Azariya would say that this krisus, right, means it has to be full, not that only Meisha. He doesn't have those drushes. He would say you don't have those drushes. And finally, number four, Nender Rabbi Akiva Amar. He has 1 minute. Another argument. What happens if this woman goes and gets married to somebody else who she's allowed to? Right, remember, the case is you're divorced, you're mutter for everybody except for Ruve. So she goes and marries Ploni. Right, and she marries somebody from Shukva, Hayu lo banim, and she has children from that husband. Vinis Armalon is Garsha, and then the husband dies or divorces her. The Amda Vinis is Laza, and now she goes and marries the one that she was usher to. So, what are you going to tell me now? She just undermined her original Gerushin. And now she made her middle children Mamzerim. You're going to tell me that her children turn into Mamzerim? You can't say that works. That is a krisus. When do you ever have a case where you undo or you're Mavata Latnai on a get, and Mamela, your middle children become Mamzerim? That's not the krisus that the Torah had in mind. Right, that's what Rashi says. Lo amra Torah krisus hamivi es Yisrael l'dei psol. Right, the Torah's krisus never meant in a way that you're going to cause problems for children. Right, krisus means you end the marriage. That's it. Dover acher. Let's stop here for a minute. So what was Rabbi Akiva's statement? Akiva says, what's going to happen? She's going to go marry somebody else, and then she's going to go marry the one she's not going to be able to marry to, and that's going to be mevatel the get. Ask Tosfos Akasha, older he showed him ask. Tosfos says, 1 second. He said, you're divorced, you're mutter to everybody, except so-and-so. Regarding so-and-so, you're still an Eish HaZish. He said, how could you ever marry so-and-so? It's impossible. What does the Gemara mean? Va'amda v'nisseis l'zesh n'esra love. She goes and marries the one that she was also. You can't marry her. She's an Eish HaZish. She's still married. Right, if you're married to someone, a woman's married, she has to marry somebody else, it doesn't work. So if he said you're mutted everybody except regarding that guy, you're still married to me. So how could you ever marry that guy? That's Tosfos Kasha. V'im Tomar, second Tosfos. V'alo eni suin chalin. These suin are not chal. So what does the Gemara even mean that she umda v'nisei, she goes to marry, and that's mevatel l'tnai? You can never have a bitul l'tnai because she can never marry him in the first place. She can be mezana with him, but she can never marry him. So Tosfos says it must be. Fifth skinny line, Tahacha Amda Venises La'achar Misa Samagarish Kamar. Maybe she got married after her original husband, Magarish, died. So maybe if there were children in the middle there. You know, but that's the only case. Amda Venises, right? And then but if it comes out, so then when she was, right? Yeah, the kids might still be Mamzerim because at the time she was still married. She was never divorced. Yeah? But the husband died after she had the children. The original Megarish died after she had the children. Yeah?
But maybe looking at it from a different perspective, because once she has an issue of Yibam, by her not doing the Yibam, you said before Samadhi, then she can't go to anybody. So then, therefore, the whole question is there a Gerish to begin with? Because then she can't marry anybody. It's restricted completely.
Okay, I mean, maybe similar to what you're saying is the Ramban. The Ramban and the Rashba all quote this question of Tosus. And they say, the Pashit, it doesn't mean marry. It means the act. It's not going to work. But his whole tenai was that you can't live with this guy. Right? It doesn't mean halachically marriage, because that's not going to work. So that's all it means. That's all it means, says the Ramban. It means physically got married, even though halachically, really, it doesn't work.
And that's going to have power to maybe get
and that would have the that's where Bikiva's Kasha. That's the Kasha. And therefore, it must be that the whole thing doesn't work. Must be the whole thing doesn't work, and therefore, the Rabbanan say, right, Osrin, they say it's not a good Gerushin. Next, last, first wide line, Davar Acher, Hari Shahayezeh, Shinesra, Lav Kohen, Umei Samagarej, a different problem. Again, this is a different version of what Rabbi Akiva had felt was wrong with Rabbi Eliezer Shita. So what happened again? The one guy, Ploni, who she was usher to was a Kohen. Umeis Hamagarish. And then the husband, original husband, died. Okay, let's put names. Right? Reuven divorces his wife. Reuven divorces his wife and says, you can't marry, it's a Kohen name, Katz. Right? Because, right, Katz is a Kohen. Right? You can't marry Katz. Right? So, or Cohen. Let's put Cohen. Right? So Cohen. You can't marry Cohen. That's easier. No one again. There's no Cohens in the shul, right? Right? So, right? So the Megarish died. So what's the halacha now? This Cohen. Lo nimses almana et slo. Regarding Cohen, what is this woman? She was never a grusha regarding this woman. This man. Again, Reuven divorced his wife. You can marry everybody except this man, Cohen. So regarding Cohen, she's still married to him. Then he dies. So regarding Cohen, she should be an almana, not a grusha. Yet, Rabbi Kiva says, this Dabar Acher is like, you're not going to say that. You're not going to say this Cohen can marry her. Why? Because she is a grusha to someone, says the Gemara. Wait a minute, guys. Nipsi is almana etzlo. Isn't she an almana to him, but still the grusha is a kol adam, and she's a grusha to everybody else, but for kal vachomer. And yet, we're still not going to let her marry, and therefore we have the following kal vachomer. Uma grusha shehi kala. If grusha, the iser of grusha lekohen, which is a kal iser. Why is it kal? Because it's only a lav. Right? So not misa. If a grusha were just kal, asura b'shul tzad gerish and shabab, she's still not going to be able to marry Cohen because she is in the world to other people. She's a grusha, so that's going to affect her status even regarding this guy, even though she's an amana to this guy. Eishas ish hi chamura lo kol shekein. So surely she's an eishas ish to this to Cohen. Shouldn't that affect everybody else? If she's a grusha to everybody else and that affects her status to this one singled out guy, so then surely Eishes Ish, which is a much more chomer iser, Eishes Ish is b'misa, so the fact that she's an Eishes Ish still to Cohen should prevent her from being mutter to everybody else. And therefore, that is the Dabar Acher's problem, halamata she'ein zakrisus.
She's not an Eishes Ish to everybody else.
What?
She's not an Eishes Ish to everybody else.
She's not a grusha to this guy.
Isn't this because of
Reach again? Oh, so the Gemara's going to talk about it on the base. Maybe you could, that's how you could uproot this these tinus. But all these, again, so what do we have? We had five. There were supposed to be four, but there were two from Rabbi Akiva. Five arguments on the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. So Amar Lahen Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua says to all of them, wait a minute. Ein Mashivin Nisar Rilach Arbisa. Don't wake up the lion after death. Right? That's the phrase that the Gemara uses to, you argue with somebody after their nifter. It's not, they can't argue back on you. Right? So it's not, you can't do that. So Ein Mashivin Nisar Rilach Arbisa. It's a fascinating tshuva. It comes up on Amud Beis, but I mentioned it here. Rav Moshe, so Rav Moshe's Rashi Rabbeinu Tam Shuvah. Rav Moshe has an important Shuvah about Tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam. In Chelek Dalid, Arachaim Simon Tess. He wrote this in 1980. He wrote this to the Lubavitcher Rebbe. All right, speaking of that, Lubavitcher Rebbe wrote about it. All the Chabad, where's Rabbeinu Tam? Malz Kvot Hod Kvot Harasa, going to call this a Tzadik Shlita, Adam Rabbi Lubavitch. So he says, what's my take on Rabbi Natan's film? So we're not going to go through the whole tshuva. Feel free. He talks about, it's a historically fascinating tshuva as well. He talks about what was available and the types of sofrim that they had, the Meshach Hasban, and he used to wear, and then he stopped. But in that tshuva, he talks about this concept of Ein Mashivin Nisar Ari Lacharmo. So he says, that does not mean that you have to hold like the Ari. It does not mean, just because there was a great Godel that said something and you don't understand it, you could argue with him. You just can't start screaming and just having tainas and saying, he's wrong. No, you don't have to hold like him. It just means you're not supposed to try to upslug him and not try to look for a defense. So says Moshe, you don't have to pasken like him. Ein Mashivin Nisari La'achar Mosa. Okay, I was gonna say something, I don't remember. Okay, so that is Rav Moshe's tshuva. Continuing, thank you. Where are we? Next, so Amar Rava, fifth wide line. Kulu islu pircha lavar midrabbeinu Azariah delaskalei pircha. All these five claims against Rabbi Eliezer, they all aren't really good claims. Four out of five of them, I could find an argument against their argument. except for Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Rav Elazar ben Azariah says priestess is davar hakores. That one stands. So now we're going to go through Tanya Mihachim on the line. I'm Rabbi Yossi, Rohani, Yossi, Rabbi Elazar, Ben Azariah, Midirei Kulam. He is the best. So now the Gemara is going to go through each one of them and say, what is the problem with each of their complaints against the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer? That's what the Gemara is going to do on them for the rest of Amar Aleph. So Amar Mar. Nene Rabbi Tarfin va'amar ha'resha hol chazubin isis la'achim shel zeh. Sh'nesor alav meis b'lo banim. What was Rabbi Tarfin's problem? Tarfin says, what's going to happen? She's going to go marry so-and-so's brother. And then so, and the brother's going to die. She's going to be zakuk to so and so, and she should do yibum, but she's also to do yibum because of the original Tanai. And look, you're being oker davar min haTorah. Lo nim says oker davar min haTorah. So says the Gemara, oker, iu akar. What's he uprooting? All he did was divorce his wife. What's he uprooting? So Gemara says ella mas nalaka davar min haTorah. You're right. He wasn't oker it, but he's making a condition that's going to lead to uprooting something. So the Gemara again says masne. He made the condition. Who told her to marry her, his brother? What, he said you're going to go marry the brother? Who says there are a lot of guys on the market? Who said that she has to go marry his brother? So what are you blaming him for? Because she went and did this, and now it comes out that this is the case. So, Ella gori makar davar min haTorah. That's the problem. Now, that's the real claim that Rabbi Tarfin was saying. How could you say this works? He, the husband, is causing the Torah to be uprooted. That's also a problem. When you're goreim laka davar min haTorah. So the Gemara says, goreim? Is that true? Do we really call that a goreim? Ela mehata bas achi lo yisa. A person should not allowed to be married, should not be allowed to marry his niece. Why? Because what's going to if a person marries his niece and then the person dies, so what's going to happen? The niece is going to be zakuk to her father. There's not going to be even there either. But the Gemara says it's a mitzvah to marry a niece. Even though, I think we mentioned it 2 weeks ago or so, the Tzavah Rabbi Huda Chassid who said he's not allowed to marry Nis anymore, and he went against a number of Maimarim in the Gemara. But here the Gemara says she should not be able to marry a Nis. Shema Yomas below Banim. Maybe I'll die without kids. V'nipsa Gorim Laka Devan HaTorah. Right? So the Gemara says, Hainu Pircha. That is the problem with Rabbi Tarfon's complaint with Rabbi Eliezer's Shita. Period. Here's Rabbi Kiva Eger here in the Gilyan HaShas. Does not like the parallel between marrying this guy's brother and marrying your niece. Marrying one's niece, and let's say the guy dies without having children. So now she's up to her father. There's no zika at all. We learned in Yavamis. Everybody is pater. It's not even, there's no halakha connection. It doesn't get off the grounds. Here, theoretically, there should be. He's preventing it. But it's not an inherent relationship. So Rabbi Kiva Eger here says the lozachi. Right, usually you only have like a two worder in the Gilyan HaShas. Ayin there v'sarachin. But you have a long one. Lozachi si lahavin. I don't understand this. The eno mehadome. How could you compare the two cases? The chasam lono fellas lafan of leibum. There, in the case of the niece, there's no zika at all. Lohavi akira. That's not an uprooting. You only could uproot something that exists. This doesn't exist. If you marry a niece, mashenkin b'tnai, here this relationship would exist, and the tnai is preventing it from taking place. And therefore, he ends off it's sorach li iyun gadol. Once heard that there's the how he ends off is the different levels of how bothered he was. Sometimes he says Hashem yo'ir einai. So I don't remember if that's worse or better. Hashem yo'ir einai, right? Sorach iyun, sorach iyun gadol, right? This is a sorach iyun, sorach li iyun gadol. I don't remember what the different levels are. But that's what he says. He doesn't like the parallel, but either way, Hainu Pircha. Hainu Pircha, period. Okay, just one other ha'ara on this, and then we'll go on to the rest of the Amud. So what are we talking about here? Does one have to be worried, Gemara says, when one marries a niece, Reuben marries his niece, he has to be worried that he might die without children, and then, you know, it's going to come up that there's going to be a state of future problems. It's not exactly the same, but it's a general issue which we've touched on in the past, and that is, when I have mitzvahs to do, do I have a long-term or short-term view of mitzvahs? Short-term, long-term. And because it's Som Gedalia, got to relate to Som Gedalia. Stechem, it talks about a case. The doctors told a patient, you could fast either on Som Gedalia or on Yom Kippur, but not both. Sakanas Nefashos. What do you do? So what hits you first is Gimel Tishrei. So you have a mitzvah d'rabbanan staring at you in the face, but it's right now. But I know if I fast today, I will not be able or allowed to fast Yom Kippur. And I know Yom Kippur is d'araisa, the only fast day that's d'araisa. So do I take a short-term or long-term view in Dchiyas Yisurin? Do I put myself in a situation when I know that I'm going to have to rely on Heterim later? So Stechem talks about that. To keep in the mitzvah shaltayin samudaya hayom hu zmano ve'inu shem kipurim lo higia zmano. That's not here. Kulei alma modu shechayav letanos hayom. You got to fast today. Don't worry about Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur's not here yet. Shuchovas hayom ve'in poteroso ve'bnei mashi yistarch l'chal yom kipurim le'achobo. No, that's it. You'll be in a state where you'll be able to eat. That's the psak of the Stechemet. Ein l'mitzvah el shaito. Ein l'mitzvah el shaito right now. Where does that lashon come from? That comes from the Ramban. The Ramban and the Balamor made this famous. I want to get it mixed up here. Keep them the other way, it's fine. Balamor and the Ramban. So in the times of the Gemara and times of the Rishonim, they assumed that a baby who had a bris milah would have to be washed in hot water. And if not, it would be sakana safashis. So when they had a bris on Shabbos, they always warmed up hot water before Shabbos. Fine. What happens if that happened? And they're about to do the bris, and then the water spills. The water spills. Ishtapech chamimei. That's the sugya of Ishtapech chamimei. The water spills. So says the Baal Hamor, push off the bris. The Baal Hamor says, you push off the bris. If you know that you're going to have to now do the bris, and then you're going to have to do bishul, it's not bris. It's not, that's not milah. You have to do bishul. Do the bris tomorrow. That's the sheet of the Baal Hamor. It's in Shabbos Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. You can look it up. Based on how you read certain Gemaras, it says the Ramban there, Ein la mitzvah el shaito. It's borrowing from a language of the Gemara, Ein la hektesh el shaito. Ein la mitzvah el shaito. Right. What's your mitzvah now? You have mitzvah bris mila. Do the bris. In 10 minutes from now, you know you're gonna have to sakar is a farshas. Have to boil up water. So you'll worry about that then. That's what he says here. Rabban karet the shor lemimol she'ein lemitzvah elo shaita vein dochan es amilo v'nei she'estark acharach lichos es haShabbos to basar achi bikoch nefeshu to dochilai later on it'll be bikoch nefesh. Again, this is a fascinating issue which comes up in a number of places. Tzom Gedalia. Here, the Radvaz has a tshuva. Somebody's in jail, and they say the authorities tell the guy you could get out of jail one day a year. You could get out of jail one day a year. So do you pick today? Daven Tefillah B'Tzibur today. It's a Tuesday in the middle of Tammuz. Nope, it's still a Tefillah B'Tzibur. Or you say, no, Rosh Hashanah, Megillah. You want to get a good one. Only have one day a year. So again, the Radvaz quotes this, does he quote the Baal Hamor Ramban? Whenever he quotes it, he says, Tshuva, right? B'Tchila Kasav, he quotes the Chachmei Ador, right? He quotes the Yom Kippur, he said, B'Tchila Kasav, the Yom Kippur, maybe Yom Kippur's the best. Because you know it's Yom Kippur. Then he says maybe Purim because of Mikra Megillah and Pursume Nisa. And then he says forget it. Ain Mavir and Alamisvus. Ain Avir Alamisvus. Ain Cholik was a klal. Hilchah Hamitzah Rishon Shdavli Yado. That's it. First mitzvah that you could do. You should take advantage of. So again, all this is the same short-term, long-term view. Similar here. Marry your niece. You have to worry about a future occurrence. One final case, and then we'll move on. This is all from an Aleph. Don't worry. One final case is Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Chelak Aleph all the way at the beginning. Of Igris Moshe, we talked about Rahman al-Islan, somebody had a very contagious disease where whatever he would bring into the hospital would have to be burnt. Right, he was quarantined. Be'inyin chole b'machla mistabekes shesorach leilach lebeis cholim shesorfim sham kol ma shemevi imutur lahavi tefillin l'kayim sham ha-mitzvah. Could he bring his tefillin into the hospital knowing that he'll have to burn them in a week? Or is it better not to wear tefillin for a week? What could you do? Right now I have a mitzvah filling. And later I'm going to have to burn it because it's the fashas of everybody else in the world. So that's, he said, the other emotion. That tshuva talks about this Baal Hamor Ramban. He says maybe everybody would agree here that you don't because of Sreifas Kisvei HaKodesh. But the emotion there talks about it in 1944, Tavshin Dalad. Chav Adar Tavshin Dalad. He was asked from? For Futner. Maybe you saw Futner. We got a lot of Dolom today. Okay. Let's continue. So anyway, that's similar to this issue of short-term, long-term view of mitzvahs. Ubamai. So again, what's the structure of our Gemara? The structure of our Gemara is, we have the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer who says, if a man divorces his wife, you're mutter to everybody except for so-and-so, that works. So we had four, or even five. We have five arguments on that sheet. So now we're going to knock out four of those five arguments. But along the way, the Gemara is going to explain what did each of these argumenters who argued with Rabbi Eliezer, how did they understand the Mishnah? Remember, the Mishnah said, you're mutter to everybody, Ella Laploni. What did the word Ella mean? There were two possibilities. Does Ella mean except for or on condition? Chutz or Amanas? The Gemara is going to explicate that now. So, Ubamai, what did Rabbi Tarfon think? We're back in the Gemara. Ilema b'chutz. If Rabbi Tarfon meant, understood Rabbi Elazar as saying chutz, that Rabbi Elazar says, you're mother to everybody except for Ploni. And Rabbi Tarfon then argues and say, hey, but if he marries the brother and then he dies, it's going to be Usser. Mishrish or Rabbi Elazar? It can't be, because Rabbi Elazar would allow Yibum in that case. Tanya, Moder Rabbi Elazar b'Megaris is Ishto. Rabbi Elazar and me agrees. If a man divorces his wife, Amar Lani says to her, Hariyam Moderis Lachaladim Chutz Mi Ploni. You're Moder to everybody except for Ploni. Chutz Mi Ploni. V'Halchav Nisus Lachem Nashuk, and she marries somebody else. But it's Amar Lunas Garsha, and she gets divorced or becomes widowed. Shemuteris Lazash and Ezra love. You see, once there's another marriage in between, then everything from beforehand is completed and finished. So Ela ba'Amanas. It must be that he, Rabbi Tarfon, understands the Mishnah as an almanas case, so it's a regular condition. So if it's a regular condition, then you have to be worried about it constantly. Period. That's all Rabbi Tarfon. Next. Nana Rabbi Yosef Haglili b'yomar. Rabbi Yosef Haglili argued on Rabbi Elazar and said, Heichem atzinu asol lazeh mutol lazeh, ha'asar asol lakol v'amutzer mutol lakol. Where do you... You can blame me for that one. So Rabbi Yosef Haglili says, where do you ever have asar and mutter? And it has to be across the board. And mutter has to be across the board. And where it says below, is that really true? V'hari chum v'kachim, sh'asura zeh l'mataras lazeh. What do you chum and kachim? Right? If you're not, no kahanim here. Any kahanim here? Right? No kahanim here. So none of us could eat chumah. None of us could eat kachim. Right? So that's asur lazeh, mutter lazeh. So where it says no, but isur isha kamrinim. We're talking about relationships. Isur and mutter. Arayas. Right? Arayas, or right? My sister is asur to me. And mutter to you, right? So Gemara says, "But ishus kamrinin." No, we're talking about an isur that comes out of a marriage. So Gemara says, "Hari ishus ish." And ishus ish is mutter to her husband and also to everybody else. So hayna pircha. You're right. That's the problem with that. With that complaint against Rabbi Eliezer. Ubimai. So again, how does Rabbi Yosef Haglili understand the Rabbi Eliezer shita? Ilem of almanas. Does he understand that the Mishnah was a case of almanas, not chutz? Hari hutra etz lo biznus. If it's almanas, but still there's a problem, because the limited gershin only affected marrying that person, meaning almanas, that you can't marry him. So he wouldn't call that asur lazeh, mutter lazeh, because it's mutter for him, not mutter, but mutter mitzad, the original marriage, to be mezana with this man. This man, if she's mezana with him, not marrying him, that she wouldn't be violating the tanai. So he wouldn't use the lashon of asur lazeh, mutter lazeh, flowing from the marriage, because the marriage is finished. So the Gemara says Ela b'chutz. You're right. So this Rabbi Yosef Haglili must understand that as chutz and not almanas. Fine. Skip Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, because that one did not have a problem with it. We go to Rabbi Akiva. Then Rabbi Akiva b'yamar shahalcha zuv and says lechem nashuk v'havi yilobanim and nesarim l'neskarsha. Remember Rabbi Akiva's complaint. This woman's going to go marry somebody, have a wonderful family, and then she's going to get divorced or widowed, and then she's going to go marry the first one. She's going to cause her middle children to become mamzerim. Yom tov nisnes lazesh nesra love lo nipsa get batal b'nei mamzerim. That's terrible. So the Gemara says, what's the problem? Ihachi b'kula tonight to alma nami. Every time you make any kind of condition. Hariyamugudeshes bimeni almanas, that it snows in 10 years from now on the third Tuesday of March. And it does. And meanwhile, she got married in between and had kids. So every tanai could do that. Every tanai b'amalo tinsa, she shouldn't be able to be married. Dilmalo makayim le tanai. Nimsa get batal b'nei mamzerin. So every tanai, you should say this. So what's so unique about Rabbi Elazar? The answer is hainu pircha. Again, that is the problem with Rabbi Akiva Shita. Well, each one we're going to talk about. So now we're going to talk about here. Ubamai. Ilema b'chutz. If we're talking about chutz, that's the case of chutz. So again, Mishnah Shor Rabbi Elazar, like we said before. Rabbi Elazar wouldn't say that would cause mamzerus issues in that case. So we're going to say that can't be what Rabbi Akiva had in mind. The Tanya, Modahai Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar admits, B'megaris is yishtov amala hariyam teres l'chaladam chutz mi ploni. The man divorces his wife and says, you're mutter to everybody except for from Ploni. V'halchav nisis l'echem anashuk, and it's arm alone is garsha. Then she has another marriage, which ends. Shemuteres l'zeh shenasra lo. So you see, once she has a new marriage, the effects of the original marriage is finished. Ela ba'amanas. You're right. So you keep going back and forth, whether each of these later tanaim understood Rabbi Eliezer as an almanas case or as a chutz case. Finally, last case, davar acher. Hareisha, this was the final complaint against Rabbi Eliezer. Hareisha haya zesh nasra love kohen mesa magarish. Remember the case of Cohen. She says you can't marry Cohen, and then the magarish dies. So isn't she an almana to him? Lo nimseis almana etzlo. Really, she's an almana to Cohen. The grusha is a kol adam, and she's only a grusha to everybody else. And yet, we're not going to let her get married to Cohen because of her grusha status regarding everybody else. And the kavachomer, she'll be a kavachomer. Uma grusha she kala asura mishum zagirishin shabah if girishin, which is an iser kal, it's only a chayve lavin that affects her even regarding the person she's not a grusha to. Eishes ish chamura, so an eishes ish which is chamur la koshekin. Surely we should say the fact that she's an eishes ish to one guy should affect everybody else. Ubimai, and again we say, what is the case that this Dover Acher was assuming? Ilei Meba Amanas, did this Dover Acher assume that it was a case of Amanas? Hari Grusha et Slobis Nus. No, but still, so then, if that's the case, then she's still a Grusha to him regarding Znus, meaning you can't compare the cases of Ashes Ish to everybody else and Grusha to everybody else. Look at Rashi. Rashi explains this. On the top, Hari lo us Hari Grusha et Slobis Nus Garcinan. Hari lo Asra Elov Elalinase. The only Isser that she has, if it's a case of Almanas, is to get married to this guy. But what about to be Mizana to this guy? She is not married to the first guy to prevent Znus. She's not an Ishus Ish, she's Mizana with Ploni. She's not an Ishus Ish, meaning so she's still a little Grusha even to this person. It's not just because everybody else she's a Grusha to, so even here. No, she's a Grusha even to this person. So, therefore, the complaint of the Davar Acher wouldn't apply if it was a case of Almanas Ela Bachutz. Period. So, therefore, it must be a case that the Davar Acher assumes it's a case of Chutz in the Mishnah. Period. Yeah.
Well, we just said that even Rabbi Elazar is Moda.
Even Rabbi Elazar is Moda, yeah.
In the case where the guy in between dies.
Yeah.
So why is that not? Why is that the answer to Rabbi Tarfon?
Well, that they both. It said it there too. It said both that Brisa that Rabbi Elazar would admit that's the upshlug of Rabbi Tarfon and of this of Rabbi Akiva down there. We brought the same Brisa twice.
And if the guy who originally divorced dies.
The guy who originally divorced died. That's like what Tosfos was smoking the case.
What did he say there again?
Tosfos. Well, in that case, then
everyone is
right. Okay. I'm saying what? And then she marries. If the guy dies, and then she marries.
I'm saying so.
Ploni.
In that case, everyone would be.
If she had a relationship,
she was everyone, even right. Who she was also to.
Right. Yeah.
But how did the Akiva and Tarfon explain the issue of when the king dies, and the wife can
have... When the king...
When the king has a wife, the wife can marry somebody else.
Separate, well, the king has a separate, meaning in Malin HaKadosh Shalom Uridin.
Yeah, but we've got Cohen, so that's...
Uh-huh. Okay, we'll talk a little bit about it. Okay, Rabbi Akiva. So we just said, according to each shita, what is the case? Is it a case of chutz? Is it a case of amanas? Chutz or amanas? So the Gemara at the end quoted Rabbi Akiva holds at amanas, and then the Davar Acher, which is also Rabbi Akiva, was chutz. So Rabbi Akiva, I chutz vir leilos of chutz, vi amanas vir leilos of amanas. What did Rabbi Akiva, hadn't he understand the Mishnah? Was it a case of amanas or chutz? He complained about both. So Rabbi Akiva, shami le diik adamar chutz, vi gadamar amanas. He wanted to cover his bases. He heard some interpret the Mishnah as a case of amanas and some as chutz. So man da'amar chutz, hai percha, man da'amar amanas, hai percha, so he has a kasha on each one. Peri. Well, my percha, now Josh, this is what you asked before. One second. What's the problem with the last shita? What was the last shita? If the grusha status affects her, so the ishish ish status surely should affect her. One second. Maybe grusha is worse in a sense than ishish ish. Why? Inema iser kahuna shiny. Right? Maybe iser kahuna, right? A kohen has a higher standard than everybody else in the world. So maybe grusha could be worse, even though she's not a real grusha, but when it comes to a kohen and a grusha, we have a very high standard. Even if she's not a grusha herself, other people's status of grusha, her status of grusha to other people could even affect this guy. So maybe that's different. The Gemara says, no, Harab Elazar Nami Isakuna Kamai Silai. No, we had back on yesterday's daf, on Pei Beis Mabeis, Rebbe Eliezer himself, what was his mucker that this whole thing works? What Jason learned yesterday. What was the whole mucker? The mucker was from Isha, Grusha, Meisha, Afilu, Grusha, Eina, Grusha, Ela, Meisha, only from one person. So you see, he's comparing the two. So you can't suggest that Isser Grusha is different than Isser Eishes Ish, because you see, he himself compares the two. But Rava himself said, it is a good question. So Rava, Kribyanim, Shim, Zokin, Echad, Kamasni. Rava must fall like the other source from yesterday, that is V'yatsami Beso, Afilu, V'hoyso, Afilish, Acher, even only from one person. If you hold that's the mocker, then you could say, hey, Isser Grusha can be worse than Isser Eishes Ish in a sense for a Kohen. Okay, two dots. Amalahan, Rabbi Yeshua. So back to after all these four complaints that we had against Rabbi Eliezer, so Rabbi Yeshua came in and said, "Don't wake up the lion after he's sleeping." Right? Don't wake up the lion after he's dead. Remember the tshuva of Rav Moshe. L'meimer Rabbi Yeshua kavasi sfirale. Is this to say that Rabbi Yeshua held by Kim? V'ha'ihu nami mifrach kaparach. What do you mean? Rabbi Yeshua himself asked on Rabbi Eliezer, as we'll see in a minute. So the Gemara says, "Hachi kamar lahu." You're right. He did not agree. He says, "Lidi di nami is lipircha." I also have problems. Miu bein lidi bein l'tchu eimishim nesari lacharmosa. I also have problems. But you know what? Don't bother the lion after he's dead. Meaning, say your shita. Don't complain against him unless you're going to try to defend him. Umay pircha derbi Yeshua. What was his pircha? Which, by the way, I remember what I wanted to say before, but it relates to this too. The Milchamas in the Ramban and the Milchamas in his Agdama. The Milchamas Sefer is all defending the Rif against the attacks of the Balamar. Balamar attacked the Rif, and the Balamar, Milchamas Hashem, he's fighting the war of Hashem. He writes in the Hagdama that many times he agrees with the Balamar. He agrees with the Balamar. But he's spending so much of his mental energy, and he's so much time because he has to defend the covet of Rishonim. Covet of the Rif. I don't agree with the Rif. But he spends so much time, covet of Rishonim. Remember Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik, the Rav, someone said, he said, it's amazing, the Ramban had so much, he started the Beis Medrash, the Ramban, Rashba, Ritva, Ran. So he started, the Rashba's ideas are based on the Ramban's, the Ritva's ideas are based on the Rashba. The Ramban came up with the idea, he was the genius that started the whole Beis Medrash. And even with all his genius, he spent so much time defending others. Tremendous Moser Haskel. Right, the whole Milchamas. He wrote the Sefer Milchamas Hashem to defend the Rif against the attacks of the Balamar. He wrote the Sefer Haschus, also on the bottom, to defend the Rif against the attacks of the Ravid. He even wrote, in some way, the Hasagos on Sefer HaMitzvahs of the Rambam to defend the Bahag, to defend the Gaonim's counting, because the Rambam many times argues on the Bahag. So, and on the earlier Gaonim's counting, so he comes to defense. It was just an amazing Moser Haskel that he had so much mental energy of his mental capacity. Mental genius, and yet he spent so much of his time defending others, even if he didn't think they were right. Right? I'm out here. So what was Rabbi Yeshua's kasha? Rabbi Yeshua didn't hold like him, Rabbi Eliezer, but he still argued with him. So the Tanya, this was his problem with Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yeshua, makish kol mihavai yishnil kol mihavai rishona. We compare the first marriage and the second marriage. Makol mihavai rishona de lo agida ben shafrina. Just like before the first marriage, you have no connections, lo agida, no ties. I've called me, but yishnil de lo agida ben shafrina. So too, before the second marriage, you have no ties. And that's why you compare the two. The state prior to marriage has to be free of any ties, and therefore that's why Rabbi Eliezer is not correct. Says Rabbi Yeshua. Right? So the minhag of some to untie your shoes. Some have so you don't have any ties before you walk down the chuppah. And some have this such a minhag, but that's because of this. You don't have any other ties except the chassan and the kala. Right? You've heard of it, huh? And the tie, right? So some have such a minhag. Gufa. We said on Aleph twice that if a man divorces his wife and says, "You're mutter except to Ploni," and then she goes to marry somebody in between, and then she gets widowed or divorced, and she's mutter to the one that she was usher to. Heshiv. Right, so that's the case. So if you're mutter to everybody except for so and so, she goes to marry somebody else in between. So then that ruins the whole first gerushin kicks in fully. So if her second husband dies or divorces, then it's all mutter. So Heshir Blashir ben Elazar, Shuva L'Divir Ebeliezer. 1 second. Hechamatzina Shizeh Osir V'Zeh Matir. Where do you ever have such a case where one person can asser something and the other person can matir it? What's going on here? Her first husband assered this guy to her, and her second husband is matering her. Below, you never have it. You never have one person assering, one person matering. The next two lines are crucial. Vahare, a lot of lumdus. Vahare Yavama! The Baal Oseru Vyavamatir. 1 second, what about Yibam? The original husband asers her, and the Yavam matis her with Chalitza. Answers the Gemara, no, that's not comparable. Hasam Yavam Hutaka Aserle. No, it's the Yavam that's asering. Di'imi Baal Hashar Yavakaimah. What do you mean? The husband died. If there was no brother, she'd be mutter to marry anybody. So the Gemara goes back, so really it's the same person asering, so there is no precedent. Rabbi Yosef Engel has an article in Asin Daraisa where he asks, where does the Isser of Yavama Lashuk come from? This is a classic Rabbi Yosef Engel. The Isser of Yavama is not allowed to marry anybody out. Who is holding her back? Is it her dead husband holding her back? Or is it the Yavam holding her back? She's not fully unmarried. her marriage has not dissolved from the first one, or no, that's fully dissolved, but now there's a new Zika that the Torah creates, or somewhere in the middle. Maybe the Yavam is a stand-in for her dead husband. So he says, this Gemara right here, that's the Gimel, that this Lashak Levitaria. The Gemara first thinks that, hey, it's the Baal and the Yavam, the Baal's the Oser. The Gemara says, no, it's the Yavam was the Oser. There's six pages here you can look at, but that's the Rav Yosef Engel piece. Says the Gemara, 1 minute, I'll think of another parallel. V'hari nedarim, the noder, Oser, v'chacham matir. What about by nedarim? I make a neder, and then the chacham is matir. So you see, there could be one Oser and one matir. No, Amar Rav Yochanan, he chacham matir, klamel b'charata. No. Chacham is only it, right? We stand between Hataras Nadarim and Kol Nidre right now. Right, so this is also Lamaisa and the Yonah Diyoma. So Rabbi Yochanan says, a Chacham is only Matir with Harata, when he sees you yourself feel bad about it. So it disappears. It's not like I'm being Matirit, the Chacham. It just disappears. Harei Hafaras Abal, what about Hafaras Abal, to Ishano Deres, Ubal Mefer? What about that one? Hataras Chacham might be under, right, uprooted. But Hafaras Nadarim, remember from Masechet Nadarim, a Baal is Megas Gaius. He cuts it right, does it uprooted. He cuts it where it is. So the woman makes the neder, and the husband gets rid of it. So you see, one person creates, one person gets rid of it. So again, the Gemara says, that's not a good parallel. Hasam Kedirav Pinchas Mishmei Derava. The Omer of Pinchas Mishmei Derava, called on Nadaris Aldas Baal Lehino Daris. No, she always has her husband in mind. So it's as if she had in mind every woman only wants her neder to be chal as long as her husband agrees and acquiesces. But if not, then it's no good. Therefore, it's not like one ossering and one matering, because she even had the mater heter in mind when she made the neder.
It's not Megas Gaius.
Sorry?
So he doesn't hold Megas Gaius.
I think the Gemara talks about it, but even this might be Megas. Maybe it won't. You have a certain amount of veto power until you find out about it. Even if you say Megas Gaius, you might say this. But a big discussion in the Rishonim, the Ritva here, says, what if she says Beferish? And I don't care what my husband says. Is this a halachic principle or a umdana? We estimate this is what she has in mind. So the Ritva here says, where's my Ritva? All these things in here. Says the Ritva. V'im tomar, hecha she'es nisa beferish. V'amra, afilu lo yirtza bala benidra. She nedra neder. Lo yucha bala hafer. He can't be made for it. Shtei chuvas bedavar. He has 2 days. Chado shema afabishi omeris kain anansadi she'inu nederes aloratzon bayla. We know better than she knows herself. She's saying that I don't care what my husband says, but she does. Right? Halacha knows better. Or, oh no. Well, you say no. The Torah didn't give rishus. Lo chilak akasem nasla rishus lahafer kona darao. We don't really care what she says, what she thinks. Even if she, not that we estimate that she really has her husband in mind, but it's a halachic principle, and therefore her husband could always do it, even if she doesn't want her husband to have in mind. He does not have this daya, though, that says she could do it. That she could do it and prevent her husband from being made for it.
It's basically his privilege, isn't it? I mean, it's
his privilege. Well, called Noderes Aldas Baili, Noderes doesn't sound that way. It doesn't sound like his privilege. It sounds like she has him in mind.
In case we had him sound valid, Naram Sahi, Babi Abitabu.
Sorry. So what you have to say in that type of case is that really her father is her address. It's her yad. I think right there is machlokas, whether it's just yad arichta or shtei yados. But the you have to say there that a yad is not a separate, it's not an acher. Okay, let's just do 5 more lines and then we'll call it for a few minutes. Neder lozman azari v'amar, krisus davar kores bein olavein up. Right, so that was the one that lasted. Krisus halamata shein zekrisus. You know that's not krisus. Rabbanon, high krisus my avdilei. So all the other argumenters did not hold the Reb Elazar ben Azarya's obvious svara. Why not? So mibarle look at the Tanya, because they use krisus for the following. Areza gita chamanash lo tish de yayin. If I make this is your get on condition that you never drink wine. Amanash lo tech lebeis avicha olam, where you never go to visit your parents. Ein zekrisus. So then that get is not a good get, because. What, until for the rest of her life, she's always held hostage to him. Shloshim yom, but if it's a limited to 30 days, I raise a krisus. So that's what you learn from krisus. As long as there is a krisus, a limited, then it's okay. The idach mikaris krisus nafka. The other sheet just says no. You can learn both from the double lashon of karis and krisus. The idach karis krisus lo darshi. The other one says no. Karis and krisus, they don't darshin the double. So you just learn the second halacha and not the first halacha. Period. Let's stop here, and we will continue.